And so now, if I may have a couple of minutes to tell you how to pray in a way that will be helpful for you. I don't have long to spend on this, but we'll take the few moments we need to make it clear for you. Sometimes your own thoughts and emotions trouble you. You wonder why you're so easily jerked around, why something that you shouldn't touch might seem so appealing, or why you're just feeling low and lousy about life and flatlining. Why is all of that? Sometimes, though, you have a friend or a relative who seems to be dragging themselves along. You know, they just filled with what we used to call stinking thinking. Bad attitudes, you know, I'm hopeless, I'm miserable, I ought to end it all, whatever they say. So they think not much of themselves, low self-esteem, it goes on and on. Sometimes it's a son or daughter you have that gets into this hole. I want to give you a simple understanding that's going to help you to pray for them. Three things you're going to pray, and you're going to pray these prayers for someone you're concerned about every morning and every night. It only takes a minute or two. But if you'll do it, you'll see a change of their demeanor. You'll see their eyes brighten. You'll see them become more cheerful, more positive about life, faithful return. But if it's someone you're concerned about, pray these prayers every morning and every night. If you're really concerned, pray it in the middle of the day too, until you see things improve. And then maybe you can go back to praying it once a day until you can see them completely victorious. But pray the same prayers concerning your own mind. Please remember my next statement. It's all to do with a battle over the mind. The enemy will concentrate on waging a warfare in the mind. And here's the piece of information you must understand, and it's one of the reasons I've spent so long trying to build you up with respect to your faith concerning demons. The piece of information you must have is this. It is possible for a demon, and not just possible, they do this every day, but for those who didn't realize it was possible, let me tell you, it is possible for a demon to stand over here invisibly. You don't even know it's there. This could be in your house or even outside your house, not allowed in, but outside, peeking in the window. The demon could follow you walking down the street, and it is possible for a demon to project a thought into your mind so that you simply have a thought. And you thought it was your thought. It will simply come as a thought or a desire or a little drawing to something. It could come as an emotion. A spirit can send a little thought that targets an emotion. So you could simply be going about your business and have a feeling, an emotion, a desire, a thought, an idea, but has been projected. Not from a demon in you, that's even worse, but from one that's a bypassing one, or from numbers of them that have been set apart to try and cause you to stumble in your faith and backslide. And they can just project thoughts. The truth is this. You have complete authority over those spirits and over your thoughts. But a lot of people, when they get a thought, they make a big mistake. What is it? They will assume that any thought they have was their own thought. You with me here?
Yeah.
You think a thought, and so of course you assume it's your thought. You had a little desire. Sometimes, though, it's something different. Sometimes it's just feeling flat, no energy, can't be bothered, can't see. Well, that's another level of oppression. But it'll be spirits. Robbing you of motivation, of energy, no desire anymore for this, that, the other. It'll be spirit activity. And you have authority over it. But let's just deal with thoughts for a moment. If I have a thought that is an unfortunate thought, shall we say, it might have been a lustful thought, it might have been a foolish thought, doesn't matter what it is, what I need to do is to recognize immediately that the thought I just had was not honoring to Christ. And I can always take the position that is not my thought. Please remember, half the thoughts that come along are not your thoughts. Someone else gave them to you. And so you should immediately take the position that says, ah, that's not my thought. I disown it. I renounce it in Jesus' name. I told you the first night I was here about this thing called renunciation. That is to disown something, and it deals with the legal ground on which you stand. The moment you say, I renounce that thought, guess what? You don't own it. It's not yours. And I will often say, that thought is not honoring to Christ, and I reject it. I disown that thought right now in Jesus' name and cast it out. Satan, you can take that away. That's your thought, not mine. And so you try to catch the thoughts quickly. But what if you dwelt on a thought? What if after a quarter of an hour you're driving along, after a quarter of an hour you realize that for a quarter of an hour you've been wallowing in this thought, fantasizing or something, you know, enjoying some lustful thought process or something. Oh, well, you've got a little bit more to do here because you have actually entered into sin with that thought. And so now you do what you did before, but this time you confess it as sin. Confess it to the Lord. Repent of it, ask for forgiveness, and then disown it and cast it out. I've learned there's a third thing you can do with the thoughts of your own mind, and this is very effective. You can ask the Lord to remove pictures so that they no longer have a hold on you. Men particularly need to do this because men's minds are full of pictures. Men are very picture-type people, and so pictures remain with men all their lives. Something they saw or heard when they were a little boy or a teenager or years ago can just come back in a rush. The mind is full. The mind is like a Rolodex. You know what a Rolodex is? They don't have them much these days, but businessmen, salesmen used to have this thing sitting on the desk with big handles, and it was full of cards. Every card was a client or a customer. It was like a, you know, today we have computers with a database full of names and addresses. But before that, they had this Rolodex. Every card was a name, address, phone number, information. And you could spin this thing, and the cards would spin. And so you get alphabetical order, and up you'd spin up the one, you know, and ring your client. Well, that was a Rolodex. Well, men's minds in particular are a Rolodex of images, of pictures. And a lot of these are unclean, things they've seen, and it gnaws at them, it can get at them. And so people will become Christian, they'll become holy, they'll be full of the Holy Spirit, they'll walk with the Lord, and they'll still be plagued with pictures. And I have learned something that is really, really useful. This is fantastic. Every time one of these pictures comes back, I yield it to the Lord. And it's very interesting that there's always something on the inside of you where you have to be willing to give the picture away. So very interesting. And you find that moment of willingness and you say, Lord, I want you to take this picture away. Would you remove this card out of my Rolodex? And I've been doing this now for some years. And guess what? Hardly any of these things come now. And every now and again one will come, oh, there's another one. Lord, would you take that one away? And so now there's very few cards left in my Rolodex. The interesting thing is if you stop and think about life, yeah, you can remember that you saw these things, heard these things. You can recall the picture of it, but it no longer has power or desire. Mm-hmm. And so it just has no power over you. So please take this stuff seriously. There is a battle for the mind. Now, but what I really wanted you to understand, though, I've given you more than I'd planned. I wanted you to understand the spirit activity, that spirits can lob in a thought. You can feel depressed, but it was a spirit that gave you the feeling. Fight a fight. Take on the battle. Start rebuking it, resist it, cut it off, treat it as if some lying spirit gave that thing to you. You'll be far better off if you do. Now, let me tell you a story, because you need the help of this story, especially when you come to pray for other people. You've got a troubled son, troubled cousin, troubled whoever. Here's my story. This thing actually happened to me. I was in the ministry where we are now, but this is 20 years or 21 years ago. We had a mother in the church. A woman had got saved, and she'd come from a terrible background. Her whole family was a mess. She had lots of kids, but there was a lot of occultism in that family, a lot of drugs, murder, mayhem, suicide. It was all there, you name it. It was a mess. She'd come to Christ, had to renounce the occult, give up her witchcraft. In fact, we went and prayed through the house and threw out a lot of ugly stuff in the spirit realm. But she had children who were still very troubled and lived in different places. And one day her daughter was coming to visit. The mother said to me, she said, could I bring my daughter, she's a 19-year-old daughter, could I bring my daughter to talk to you? Would you be able to talk to her, you know, about her soul? So fine. And so mum and daughter turned up this day to my office in the old High Street church that we used to have. And from the moment they came in and sat down, my mind was almost out of control with thoughts about this girl. It was just crazy. You know, here I am wanting to do a good job, wanting to be serious about sharing Christ with her and giving the gospel, and just the mind so drawn to her, like just desire, you know, like just this strong, lustful drawings. It was terrible. And here I am trying to talk to mum and daughter and be the good pastor, and yet this mind, you know? And I'm thinking to myself, I got to get control of my mind here. You know, I need help. This is sin, you know? And I'm thinking, I just need a few minutes of prayer to confess this sin and unload it, you know? And so I'm looking for any excuse to pray. And so I said to the mother and daughter, I said, look, before we go any further in the interview, I said, let's just pray and ask the Lord's blessing. You know, I just wanted some excuse to get into prayer. And so I say, dear Lord, and I knew what I'd have to do. I'd have to pray a prayer that to them sounded like a normal pastoral prayer, while in the inside I'm really trying to deal with what I thought was my own sin. So I start to pray. Dear Lord, guess what? The moment I began to pray, because you step into the spirit realm, just like I told you the day about cleansing houses, you know, it's the moment I begin to pray, oh, I see things. Well, the moment I began to pray, I saw stuff. You'd never believe. I'd never seen a thing like this before in my life. But all around my head, there were 10 or a dozen demons, and they were all clawing at my brain. And this was huge, vicious claws and teeth. And these, if you can imagine the nastiest, angriest dog you ever saw, the snarls, the growls, the teeth. I had 10 or 12 of these all around my head, sinking in the claws, sinking in the teeth, but all getting at my mind, all getting at my thoughts. You have never seen a more vicious picture in your life. The reason I was having all these thoughts about that girl was that a whole bunch of demons had come in with her. They were demons of lust, demons of every kind of sin imaginable, and of course they're all trying to get into my mind. And I'm telling you, this is the way it is. Demons are able to give you thoughts. Now, as soon as I saw that for what it was, I knew this is not me. This is not my sin. This is spiritual warfare. I took authority over the spirits and bound them. I rebuked them, cut them off from my mind, and immediately the picture changed. Now, there was a brick wall here, and I could see straight through the brick wall, and now these 10 or 12 demons were all standing about 200 metres away. Maybe it was 100 metres, but they're all standing way off over there, And they're all standing in a straight line, like birds on a wire. And this is how they were standing. They were cowed and beaten. They were totally ashamed, totally quiet, still standing like this, hands back like this, heads down. The whole of them in a row just stood like that and totally ashamed. And I then had an hour and a half of peace, complete peace, in which I witnessed to that girl, led her to Christ, led her in prayer, let mum and daughter go in peace. To bind spirits is hugely important. And I've told you the story so that you will understand that demons claw at people's minds. So now I'm going to give you the three prayer points. And the first one has to deal with binding spirits, because if you're praying for someone that you're burdened for, you're concerned, they're unsaved, their life's going down the tube, if you don't deal with the spirits, the rest of your prayers might not do that much, because you have to bind the spirits. So that's the first thing. The first thing actually is to believe, just accept in your heart there is spirit activity around this person's mind. Accept it. Because that's where you're going to begin to take authority over the spirits that are troubling that person's mind and bind the spirits. Cut the spirits off. Rebuke those spirits. Take authority over lying spirits, deceiving spirits, troubling spirits. And while you're doing this, words will come. Oh, spirits of depression, spirits of this, spirits of that, spirit of suicide, whatever. Whatever words come up concerning that person. And look at the behavior of the person. Or look at what the person is saying about what their burdens are. All of that will represent spirits. If they're struggling with drugs, deal with spirits of addiction, spirits of, you know, speed or whatever. Deal with the spirits of it. If they're struggling with lust, deal with those spirits. Depression, suicide, you name it. But get strong. Take authority over those spirits and name them for what they are and cut them off from that person. Command them. Issue commands. You will not speak to that person. You will shut up. Stand aside. I, in Jesus' name, I forbid permission for you to touch that person or speak to them. Stand back in Jesus' name. Listen, get strong, get tough, get very aggressive with this kind of prayer. You have to believe in your heart that there are demons. You have to believe in your heart you have authority. You have to believe in your heart that when you speak like that, it's going to make a huge difference. If you don't believe those three things, you'll never exercise the faith that is needed. But that's the first thing you have to do. The second thing you have to do is exercise the authority that you have to place shalom on people. Peace. We spoke about it already this morning. We spoke about it for a whole hour last time I was here. The peace anointing. Everybody, please, you have authority to place peace on people, on schools, on homes, on families, on your own church. Exercise your authority. So for this person you're praying for, remember, in the name of the Lord Jesus now, place on their mind the peace of the Lord Jesus. Take a hold of the shalom anointing. Bring it down. Place it on their mind with a command. Release it to their mind. Release peace to their heart. Can you see why I'm telling you to do this every morning and every night? Because it totally changes the atmosphere around these people. You silence the spirits and you put in the peace, you're going to get some results. And if you've got a troubled friend but you're doing neither of these two things, no wonder you're getting little result. What's the third thing you're going to do? It's this. You're going to do some of what we call positive binding. Your first point was the binding of spirits, but now we've got another kind of binding called positive binding. Anybody heard of positive binding before? Okay, get ready. This is not hard. But this is what you pray. Let's say it's Jack. I bind Jack's mind to the mind of Christ. I bind Jack's heart to the love of God. I bind Jack's life to the will of God. I bind Jack's way to the Word of God. Now, you can make it up. There's no set wording here. But there's a whole lot of stuff about Jack that you can bind to a whole lot of stuff that's in God. Think about the Lord, the mind of Christ, the will of God, the love of God, the Word of God, the power of God, the blood of Jesus. Lots of good things. Think about Brother Jack over here. Let's bind Jack's mind to the mind of Christ. Let's bind Jack's life to the will of God. Let's bind Jack's loves to the Word of God. You know, let's declare the blood of Jesus. Now, whatever you do, don't forget the blood. Declare the blood of, you can do that all the way through. For points one, points two, points three, declare the blood. You know, by the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, cut those demons off. Yeah. By the wonderful provisions of the cross, place the peace of the Lord Jesus. And then do this positive binding. It's very powerful, positive binding. All those things are powerful. Now, once you've done that, what are you free to do? You've done steps one, two, three. What are you now free to do? You're free to pray any blessing you like. You know, bless them. Lift them up. Ask the Lord. Give them a job. Lord, help them here. Lord, pull them out of that. Lord, send an angel to do this. Don't forget to ask the Lord for angels to do things. You know, pray any prayer you like from that point on. You know what their needs are. Start praying into those needs. So there, dear friends, you have it. It's helpful stuff, isn't it?
Yes.
Practical, easy. Amen. See, if you understand those 3 points, they're actually easy to pray. It's the understanding that you need. So you may as well start practicing the fine art, you know, of intercessory prayer that gets some results.